Fly ball to the corner. It goes into deep right field. Ohtani, he did it!
Swinging a high fly ball to right. It is out of here! Yastrzemski does it again, and the Giants lead 4-0.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAM, 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Sutherland Studios, here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. It is sad. Baseball is done. We recapped it yesterday, the World Series, with Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher. Always great to get him on and get his insight. I want to continue the baseball talk today, and we'll bring in a great friend of mine and a great friend of the show. He joins us throughout the year to talk a variety of topics. Steve Bortstein. I know he's a fan favorite here on the show, and Steve, when baseball comes to a close, it's typically you and I sitting here and griping and talking about how bad it stinks to be a Dodger fan and to be let down one more time. But we always come up with some compelling conversations, and I know we're going to do the same today. So it's great to get you back on.
Well, I appreciate the time. Thank you very much. And it was a disappointing run. I think a smart Dodger fan kind of saw it coming,
right?
You know, the way the rotation was playing out the last few weeks of the regular season and going into the playoffs. And I'm more disappointed that the Diamondbacks didn't put up a bigger fight in the World Series, but give the D-backs credit for getting there. And congratulations to the Rangers for now making it just five teams now that remain in Major League Baseball that have never won a World Series. San Diego Padres. But congratulations to the Texas Rangers.
I was going to say, we have two that I feel very comfortable in saying. I'm very confident when I say there are two in the NL West that'll never win a World Series championship. That's the San Diego Padres, the Colorado Rockies. I am very confident of that, at least in my lifetime. And I'll even bookmark this segment. November 3rd, 2023. Padre Rocky fans, first off, God bless you, too. You're never winning a World Series.
And the Juan Soto sweepstakes are about to begin. Because he's gone. Because if the reports are true that they're now having to, I don't know, contact Sam Bankman-Fried on his way to prison to get some sort of a loan for the $500 million bailout that the Padres have to go through because they overspent and underperformed players during this last offseason, then good luck to the Padres going forward.
Now, we'll talk more about some of the offseason movement in a moment, but I think the great starting point is to go into what the Texas Rangers did. Steve, I know you think the same way, or at least feel the same way I do in this regard. Whenever I hear someone use the term buying a championship, it simply does not exist. It does not exist in professional sports because the idea is to buy the best possible talent. I don't get caught up in the whole homegrown deal. Yeah, it's nice if you can, you know, grow your own talent. I guess you become a fan favorite if you do so. But look, the idea of professional sports is to spend money. And I think it's been a very overlooked aspect because the Texas Rangers have never won a World Series championship up to this year, that this is a team that spent a lot of money. Ray Davis, who was worth like $3 or $4 billion, spent $500 million of that money to sign Bruce Bochy, Corey Seager, and Marcus Semien, as well as Nathan Eovaldi. They were all free agent, marquee free agents. That's not counting going out and grabbing Jacob DeGrom. It doesn't count trading for Max Scherzer. This was a team that spent money. And my biggest takeaway is you can buy a championship if you spend that money correctly. And I think that's, you know, universally correct in all aspects of life. If you spend wisely, you'll win.
Right. And, you know, we laugh about it and we gripe about it when it's another team we'll laugh about it when it's a team that's in last place. We'll laugh about it when the Oakland A's spend a dollar on anything. We'll laugh about it, you know, when the Kansas City Royals spend a dollar on pretty much anything. But for the Texas Rangers, and there's a name you mentioned a moment ago, and I want to get to that in a second here, but it was the Corey Seager deal, which is a Dodger fan. That stings. Every time he got to the plate in the post season, it stung just a little bit more watching him outperform everything everything and everyone during this postseason, and in particular in the World Series. You spent $325 million on him. You gave $175 million to Marcus Semien for 7 years. That's a $500 million right there. Okay, then there's Bruce Bochy. And has there ever been a manager, and I think the answer is there's two or one, who have won as many World Series without ever losing a World Series?
That's a good question.
And that's the greatness of this whole deal, is that in this day and age now of, oh, we want the analytical guy to be the manager of the team. We want the guy who can read a spreadsheet, and we want the guy who can sit there in front of a Microsoft Excel worksheet and figure out, you know, what the best lineup is on a given day and on a given day. No, it's Bruce Bochy. It's Bruce Bochy, who's, what, 68 years old. It's Dusty Baker, who was 75 years old. The year before that, it was Snitker, who was 69 years old when he won a World Series with the Atlanta Braves. It's the old guys that are winning the World Series right now. Not the young Bucks, not the Bob Melvins of the world, not the Gabe Kaplers of the world who are just coming off their prime and they didn't have a great career, but by God, they've got the heartbeat of the clubhouse. No, they don't. No, they don't, because they don't know how to win. They don't know what it takes to win a game. They don't know what it takes to win a championship. And that's what Snitker, Baker, and Bochy all had in these last 3 years. So if you're a team that's looking for a manager, I know the excitement factor of bringing in, you know, the most recent ex-big leaguer who flailed away every time he got to the plate and couldn't, you know, to quote Tommy Lasorda, couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat. I know that's the idea, but it's not working, and you got to go with the guys who have some experience, and that's what you've seen in each of the last three World Series champions.
It's so funny to me that even in this realm today, when we've seen so many sample sizes to prove that we can't live in a world completely based off analytics, people still love that vibe, right? This has been proven time and time again, Steve, that there is a fine line between your gut, common sense, and analytics. And I think the biggest problem I have with analytics is that it does go against conventional wisdom and common sense more often than not. We've seen this in the postseason. Whenever a manager pinch hits a .180 hitter in a must-score situation, I look at the analytics, shake my head, and laugh. I don't care if this guy is a .180 hitter hitting .220 against lefties. Give me the .300 hitter in that situation 10 out of 10 times. Give me the .280 hitter 10 out of 10 times. Analytics continue to be proven wrong time and time again over the course of a playoff series. It's different than 162 games, right? We know this now. Baseball's played over 162 game season. The law of averages are going to play out. That's not the case in the postseason, and we saw it again this year.
Well, and to go back for a moment to talk about the San Diego Padres, let's talk about one of the pitchers on their their starting rotation this year, and one of the greatest analytics violations of all time. Thank God for the Dodgers, because it happened against them with the Dodgers. But when Blake Snell was pitching for the Rays, was throwing a one-hitter, and they pulled him because of analytics.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
The 2020 World Series goes a completely different way if you had a manager who had some common sense to just leave him in the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's the equivalent of taking out a quarterback who's thrown for 330 yards through three quarters, because, you know, fourth quarter struggles are a big deal.
Right. That's an absolutely perfect analogy of that. And so I'm thrilled for Bruce Bochy. You know, I'm thrilled for the Rangers. It's a great storyline. The question now will be, can they do it again? I think look at the AL West. The AL West is a train wreck with the exception of the Rangers, right? I mean, the Mariners aren't going anywhere. The A's, literally, we don't know where they're going. The Angels, that's a complete disaster over there. And the Houston Astros. Okay, so the Astros are obviously still contenders. They're still a very good ball club. But, I mean, that's a train wreck of a division with the rest of it out there. And the Rangers can very well be a factor next season.
I think they'll be a factor. I don't know that we will see. I think it's too difficult, especially with a 16 playoff. Very, very difficult for someone to go back-to-back in Major League Baseball. I mean, it's so difficult. If I'm not mistaken, Steve, I believe the last time it happened was the Yankees. They three-peat, right? 98, yeah. 99, 2000. So we haven't seen this in over two decades, and I believe that there is a reason for it. But to your point, correct, with Dusty Baker walking away, with Seattle, who knows what their offseason is going to look like. The Rangers are going to be the top dog in the AL West, which was highly competitive. Completely different than when you take a look at the NL West or you take a look at the AL East. The Rangers are going to be the top dog. How conservative do the Rangers get now that they've won the World Series? And that's the question that I think looms in baseball. When you have an owner that spends, 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 and wins a World Series, Are you content? And I will move over to the NBA for this point in reference. Mark Cuban. Here was a guy that we loved, right? People still love Mark Cuban. But once he got his first NBA championship, a guy's been conservative, hasn't spent, hasn't necessarily made the bold moves. That's my question with Texas. What direction do they go now in that regard?
That's a great point. And I think you're also asking that same question now about Baltimore, right? The year they had, they need to make a couple of moves. You've got, you know, a couple of guys who are going to miss some time, but, you know, they did a lot of this with youth. The Baltimore Orioles did. You mentioned the AL East a moment ago. You got the American League Rookie of the Year frontrunner Gunnar Henderson. That's a young team. They're going to have to spend some money to keep some of these guys around if they want to have a repeat of this, not just next year, but down the road, because eventually the Yankees are going to figure things out, right? They always do. Eventually the Red Sox are going to figure things out, right? Because they always do. Tampa Bay, Toronto, they're always going to be a factor. Baltimore's going to have to start putting some actual money on the table. That's something they haven't had to do in a long time because they've always been an also-ran. But now they're going to have to spend money. To your point with Texas, it's the same thing. If they want to stay relevant, they're going to have to spend some money, and they're going to have to continue to spend money if you're Texas.
Steve Bordstein, again, our guest right now as we talk about some more abstract conversations with Major League Baseball now that we hit the offseason. Steve, free agency is upon us. Everyone's talking about Ohtani. I don't necessarily want to go down that route again. I do want to talk about potential trade targets. In your mind, who's the number one trade target for contending teams to go after this offseason?
Wow.
It's a tough one, isn't it? Free agency is easy. Now we're talking trade.
Right, trades are different, right? Because, you know, what's your need? What's your expectation? Where do you go with that? And you know, what team is going to pull the trigger first, right? Because that's always the thing is, you know, what team, it's a team that pulls the trigger first, and then it's everyone else follows suit. I think the Juan Soto situation is fluid, and I can see a couple of different clubs going for a Juan Soto deal because clearly the Padres are going to dump payroll. They have no choice. So I think the Juan Soto deal, they're clearly the New York Yankees. They've got to make some adjustments to the always injured Giancarlo Stanton, the oft-injured Aaron Judge. They've got to make some adjustments there. They've got to get healthy. So I think Juan Soto's a guy who you could see. The Cubs, I could see them making a move for a guy like Juan Soto, especially when you consider that Bellinger is in a contract year now. So I do think that Juan Soto is going to be one of those first names that's going to fall.
I think another name to really pay attention to has to be Mike Trout. Because I just don't see a world where Shohei Ohtani re-ups with the Angels. And if you lose Ohtani outright, you know that, well, you got nothing for him. And I don't blame the Angels for not dealing him. They tried to go all in. They tried to get into the playoffs. And the Diamondbacks proved, if you get in, anything is possible. But you're going to lose a generational player for absolutely nothing. At that point in time, you almost have to move on from Mike Trout. Because if you weren't good enough to get to the postseason with Ohtani, you're certainly not going to be good enough to get to the postseason without him. You're losing your ace. You're also losing one of the most prolific DH hitters in the game today. I think Mike Trout may very well be on the move this offseason. It wouldn't shock me one bit.
No, it wouldn't shock me. And believe me, no love lost on anyone in Los Angeles country who still believes that the Angels are relevant in the city of Los Angeles, because Mike Trout leaving the Angels would have no impact on the fan base for the Angels because they're the number two team in LA and in Southern California anyhow. So I do think that Trout's probably another name on that list. And again, I can name both those same teams, the Yankees and the Cubs, who not only have the available payroll to get Trout what he wants, but also have to fill holes in their outfields to get Trout and to get a name out there that's going to bring in revenue at the gate.
Yeah, let me throw one more name out, and I think this might be one of the most intriguing situations going into the offseason for Major League Baseball, and it also has to do with spending money, and that's Corbin Burnes, because the Milwaukee Brewers did everything they could to not pay this guy. They nickel and dimed him. This is their ace. They did this in arbitration last season, and there was obviously a rift between the standout ace and the Milwaukee Brewers. All they had to do was pay this guy. Now, there's only 1 year remaining of club control, but you have to believe that someone that wants to invest and spend money within the roster, specifically the rotation, would pony up, get Corbin Burns this offseason from the Brewers, and pay him handsomely as their future ace. If you want to talk about a team mismanaging a situation, look at the Brewers and the way they have handled the elevation, the ascension of Corbin Burns over the last couple of seasons. He's a former NL Cy Young Award winner, Steve, and they did everything they could to not pay him.
No, it's a great point. And if and you know, to the point of Corbin Burns, you know, with the contract situation that he's got right now, you know, heading to arbitration, good luck, you know, good luck if you're the Brewers on that one, because you're not going to come out on the right end of this one in any way, shape or form.
We'll end with Clayton Kershaw, because the news came out today, and again, here's a free agent. News came out that he did have major surgery, which would put him out to the middle of next season at best. I'm wondering if we have seen Kershaw play his last game. He says he expects to return in the summer. I'd have to believe the only way this works out is if he signs back with the Dodgers on another one-year deal. It almost seems like if Kershaw has the idea of pitching next year, it has to be with the Dodgers at this point, right?
Right, because the Rangers, now, I mean, it was a cute story, right? When it was the Rangers and they were an also-ran, or they were a non-factor. The Rangers aren't bringing him in now. There's no way in hell they're doing that. They're not going to roll out Senior Citizen Day or AARP night for Clayton Kershaw. He's not going to see the light of day until probably July. So, no, if he is going to come back, it's going to be as a Dodger. And I hate to say it, I'm kind of over it. I mean, I think as much as, you know, look, we all loved Kershaw. We all thought he was great. That last performance, that last game, was indicative of everything that, unfortunately, Clayton Kershaw will be remembered for in the postseason. And that's the unfortunate, sad conclusion of it. And it's tragic in every way imaginable. But I don't want to see him roll out there again. I don't want to wait until July to find out that he's already diminished fastball, he's already diminished sinker, he's already diminished curveball, are even more diminished by whatever surgery he just got through.
You know what? Maybe I'm just a glutton for punishment. You can roll that guy out on a wheelchair. I want to see him in a Dodger uniform. There are just certain players, Steve, I don't ever want to see leave their team.
I understand it. I'm just too much of a cynic for it at this point.
Well, I understand that. I get that logic.
Going well enough to know that, yeah. Too.
Going back to what you said about the Rangers, though, and it always seems like it's the Dodgers or the Rangers. Those are the two teams that Kershaw would play for. Knowing what we know about Jacob deGrom, knowing what we know about Max Scherzer, there's no way that the Rangers can afford to pay another pitcher that might not pitch next season, right? Like, that can't possibly happen. That organization can't afford to do that at this point.
Well, and again, same thing with the Dodgers, right? I mean, if the Dodgers are going to go after Clayton Kershaw or try to renew his contract, aren't we already dealing with the fact that the Dodgers are also prospectively pursuing Shohei Ohtani, who's only going to be half the Shohei Ohtani that he was supposed to be at the beginning of this season, where he's not going to pitch for at least a year, maybe even more? So why would the Dodgers double down on that and go for Ohtani and Kershaw, who might be best suited, you know, just, you know, being like a Walmart greeter at this point, considering the damage he's done to his already aged body at this point?
Well, I would say the only reason is because Ohtani is the long-term play, while Kershaw is a PR move. And we see PR moves in baseball.
But is Ohtani a long-term play, considering his age? When you see what we're getting now into with the foreign players, you've got the 25-year-old Yamamoto, right? You've got him. You've got these other pitchers now that are starting to come up from the ranks in the Korean League and the Japanese League. Is it the best move long term? It's a great name move, Ohtani, right? I mean, how many jersey sales is that gonna possibly get? It's a great name move. But from a realistic, competitive today standpoint, is it the right move?
Yes. Yes. Okay. I believe so. And the reason being, you gotta remember, when we talk Ohtani, Dodger team doctors are the ones that have done the two operations on his elbow. And that's a lot of insight, right? I mean, it's a Dodger team doctor that has performed both. You have to believe that they know everything's going to be all right. Otherwise, you're not going to make a play and give them a $500 million deal.
Right. The other guy that's interesting in the offseason that I think is going to get a lot of interest from the on the free agent market is George Soler.
Yes, yes.
I think if I'm a Dodger fan, Jimmy, you know, put him in the mix.
Yeah, I mean, no? This is a guy that just well overperformed in Miami, backs out of that contract. Soler was great with Atlanta. This guy's got a proven track record, and if you talk DHs, I think he's firmly put himself in the elite category, right? He's got to be one of the top three or four out there hitting the market.
Absolutely. So I would definitely put him in that category of guys to go after this offseason.
He's Steve Bordstein, always kind enough to join us. Love the baseball conversation, Steve. Tell us where we can find more of your work.
Well, tonight I am headed down to the fine city of Albuquerque. I'm putting extra insurance on my vehicles and my belongings just in case things get stolen. But I'm headed to Albuquerque tonight for a state playoff football game between our hometown Farmington Scorpions taking on Volcano Vista High School. They're an interesting school down in the Albuquerque area. So I'm headed down to do that tonight for my newspaper, the Tri-City Record, which serves the northwest corner of New Mexico in the Four Corners area. You can find more of my work on our website at tricityrecordnm.com.
Yeah, keep your hands in your pockets, I guess.
Your hands in your pockets, and as I told my wife when we were in Los Angeles for our honeymoon a few months ago, whatever you do when we stop at a red light, don't look left, don't look right, just look straight ahead.
Just look straight ahead, yep. But act like you're...
Don't turn your head, whatever you do. Whatever's happening to the side, just ignore it and move on.
Act like your secretariat, you got your blinders on, you can't see to the left or right, right? Just keep looking forward.
Exactly, my friend.
Steve, always a pleasure. I appreciate the time.
All right, we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
It's always a hoot to get Steve Bordstein here on Drive Time Sports. And with that, this week of the show is in the books. We'll be back to do it again on Monday. Enjoy some college football tomorrow. Enjoy the NFL. I'll see you then. Be safe. I'm out.